Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Freedom Report, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Austin Peterson. Today is Friday, May the 30th, here with my co-host, Ian Hewitt. Ian, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Today we're going to be talking about a story out of Minnesota where a homeowner by the name of Byron Smith, who was 65 years old, was convicted of premeditated murder of two teenagers who broke into his house on Thanksgiving of 2012. Now, Smith argued that he had killed these two cousins in self-defense, but the prosecution basically claimed that because he was staked out in his basement waiting for them, that this was premeditated murder. The jury took 3 hours to come to their decision, and now Smith's lawyer is filing an appeal. So basically what happened was these two teenagers who he knew because they had done work for him, apparently they had staked out his home. That's why they targeted his house, because they knew that he had valuables in the home. In fact, the man had been burgled a few times that summer, apparently by these teenagers, and they had stolen around $40,000 worth of goods.
And they first burglarized his home, not by breaking into his home, but when he invited them in.
Right.
When they would do work for him, he would invite them into the home and serve them dinner.
Right.
And he started noticing things going missing, and so he didn't offer them work anymore. And then the break-ins started.
Right. And here's the thing. This guy isn't just some like weird old cranky crotchety guy. You know, apparently the guy had done had worked for the Department of Homeland Security, setting up security areas overseas. So he wasn't just some crazy old crank. This is a guy who understood security. But apparently what happened was, after he'd been burgled several times, he got scared and terrified and started installing all these security systems. And his best friend and one of his best friends and neighbors has been testifying that he wasn't crazy. He just was scared. He was scared of these burglars. I mean, isn't that something, you know, an honest fear that you would have?
Not only did he have experience in security, but you would think that securing your house against people who are victimizing you is a rational response.
Right.
A reasonable course of action. But in the eyes of the media, apparently, it's a sign that you're a vigilante and you're setting a trap and so forth.
Yeah, well, because they called it a deer stand. You know, he was hiding behind he set up a little area where he was hiding behind. He was waiting for them. But here's the thing, and this is what made him unsympathetic. He recorded the audio of him setting himself up to kill whoever was going to walk in the house. But then the thing was he had a tarp, right? He had a tarp ready, apparently, because he knew that there were two people who were burglaring. He didn't know who they were. He knew the people personally, but he didn't know who the burglar. He didn't know they were the burglars. So what he did was he set up himself with a rifle in the corner of his basement, waiting for them to come down the stairs into his basement, and he had a tarp ready so that when he got the first one, if the second one came down, he could use the tarp to cover the body and get rid of them. Now, after he shot both of them, and there's audio of this that we're going to play here in just a moment, after he shot both of them, shot the first one, he put the first one body in a tarp, and he hauled it away, and then he went back, and he waited, and then the second one came down the stairs, and he shot the girl to death. Now, the reason they're calling this premeditated murder is because of the way that he set himself up, and I think it's because, you know, the callous remarks that he made when he shot them. Well, you know what? Too damn bad. If you've got adrenaline flowing through your system and you've got people coming to your house, you don't know if they're armed or not. He says you're dead, bitch.
Right. A juror said that those remarks suggested he was a deranged individual. And that's possible, but that doesn't change the fact that his home was broken into and he was defending his home, which should be a reasonable thing to do, a reasonable action to take in a free society.
Right.
You know, this is part of a pattern. We've posted all of these stories on our website. In Sacramento, a resident shot two burglars that broke into his home, and people held a candlelight vigil outside the house for the burglars.
Right.
In South Carolina, a robber robbed a Waffle House and was shot by a patron of the Waffle House. The robber's family argued that the Waffle House patrons should have just surrendered instead of fighting back, and that society should have stricter gun laws to prevent people like their relative from being shot in the future. And in Montana recently, a man named Marcus Karma has also been arrested and charged with homicide because a German exchange student broke into his garage, and he shot this exchange student while he was in his garage. And the media has argued that the exchange student was playing a quote-unquote prank,
mm-hmm.
and they've tried to portray him as sympathetic. And they've also said that Marcus Karma set a trap for burglars, apparently because he was prepared to defend his home since his home had been burglarized in the past. I guess that's setting a trap, and that's vigilante justice. Now, this guy has been convicted of premeditated murder as if the people he shot had done nothing wrong, and as if he had sought them out.
Right.
He's received a sentence equivalent to someone who sought out and murdered people. It's like the fact that they broke into his home was not taken into consideration at all. I think this pattern has disturbing implications, and it reflects a sort of societal psychological brokenness where the perpetrators have become the victims.
Absolutely. All right, so I'm going to play this audio. Now, just so you know, this is 5 minutes long. It's very chilling, and it does have some graphic language in it, ladies and gentlemen. So if you are queasy or weak of stomach, why are you listening to the Freedom Report? We do this kind of stuff all the time. Don't listen to the Freedom Report if you've got a weak stomach. I'm just kidding. But here, listen to this audio, and when we're done, Ian and I will analyze it, and then you guys can hear our takedown of this argument. Ready?
Sorry about that.
Oh my God.
You're dying.
Bitch.
Of course, I'm safe now. Cute. I'm sure she thought she was a real pro. I feel a little bit safer. Not totally safe. I'm still shaking a bit, but a little bit safer. I refuse to live in fear. I am not a bleeding heart liberal. I was cleaning up a mess. Not like spilled food. Not like vomit. Not even like diarrhea. The worst mess possible. In some tiny little respect, I was doing my civic duty. because the law enforcement system couldn't tackle it, and I had to do it. They weren't human. I don't see them as human. I see them as vermin. This bitch was going to go through her life spoiling things for other people. Thieving, robbing, drug use. It's all fun, cool, exciting, and highly profitable until somebody kills you. Like I give a damn who she is. I'm sorry. So much regret. I try to be a good person. I try to do what I should, be friendly to other people, help them when I can. Try to be a good citizen, not cheat people, be fair. And because I try to be a decent person, they think I'm a patsy. I'm a sucker. They think I'm there for them to take advantage of. Is that the reward for being a good person? And if I gather enough evidence, they might be prosecuted. If they're prosecuted, it might go to court. If it goes to court, they might be found guilty. If they're found guilty, they might spend 6 months, 2 years in jail. And then they're out, and they need money worse than ever, and they're filled with revenge. I cannot live a life like that. I cannot have that chewing on me for the rest of my life. I cannot. I refuse to live with that level of fear in my life.
All right, so let's just get it right out of the way. The guy sounds a little nuts.
Right, obviously right. That was disturbing. Right. Obviously it was sad also. It's sad that they died. It'd have been better if they had stopped breaking into his house. It'd have been better if he hadn't shot them fatally, for instance. But to say that they effectively bore no responsibility for what happened, which is what this verdict and this sentence is doing, life in prison without parole, premeditated murder as if he had gone out and stalked them and hunted them down.
Right.
To say that really means that if someone breaks into your home, you have a choice between submitting and risking your safety and your life and the safety and the lives of your family, or resisting and then risking persecution by the governing authorities.
Right. And he makes a great point about the fact that he would have to worry that if they got out of jail 6 months later, they can't get a job, they're going to be full of revenge. You know, this is what we were saying while we were listening to this, you and I. It's like, it's not what you say, it's how you say it sometimes. If he hadn't been whispering it like a creep in the corner of his house, you know, then and he had said it forcefully, you know, like full of adrenaline, people may have understood and been like, yeah, you know, like you could understand why somebody would fear that kind of a thing.
Right. I think that probably he was whispering because he thought maybe there were other burglars in the house still or in the area, but clearly that was inadvisable and it didn't work to his advantage that he made this recording. I don't think that changes the facts of the case, though. I do think it's disturbing that some of the jurors seem to have pointed to the fact that he was calm and collected during the shooting itself as evidence of guilt and of murder rather than just some sort of manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's disturbing because, you know, when I'm in an emergency situation, that tends to make me more focused.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people become more focused in an emergency situation. Mm-hmm. The implication here is that it would have been evidence of his innocence if during the entire event he had been just cowering in terror and not able to handle himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that does that mean that if someone breaks into your home and threatens your family and you are collected when you respond to the situation, that's evidence of some sort of guilt? And we should always favor people who are more fearful and are you know, more like victims. Than
yeah,
people
well,
up
again,
for
you and I know what's going on in a lot of these people's minds is that they praise the victim mentality. You know, the weakness in our culture and society is reflected in this attitude. And the funny thing is the prosecutors in this case, you know, they're the ones who are trying to paint him off, you know, as being a madman. Well, but just if you had people breaking into your house multiple times over a certain time period, don't you think you'd go a little crazy too? So right. It's like, you know, you're blaming it because he's crazy. Just because you may be off your nut a little bit, it doesn't change the principle of the question.
Right, no matter what you thought about their recording or how deranged he is, yeah, it doesn't change the fact that it's not true that they bore no responsibility. And
right.
That's what you're saying if you say that this was premeditated
and like,
murder.
And they're showing all these pictures of the kids looking all cute and cool and young and innocent and stuff. The boy was 17, the girl was 18.
Right, again, we're seeing with the boy that was shot, there are pictures of him when he was a little kid.
Right, oh yeah, they're showing pictures of him as a little boy, trying
of
to
course.
Draw as much sympathy
I think
as possible.
We're almost to the point now where the media just might as well say, we're telling you what to think about these cases. In the Marcus Karma case in Montana that I mentioned earlier, remember the media is saying the teenager that broke into this home was playing a prank. They can't even be honest there about
right,
what
yes.
he was actually doing. They're saying that because Marcus Karma's home, and Marcus Karma, by the way, is not a single man like Byron Smith, I believe. Mm-hmm. Not a single man like Byron Smith. Marcus Karma has a young child and a wife in the home. And after his home was repeatedly burglarized, he got a weapon to defend himself. And the media have responded to that by saying that he set a trap for burglars mm-hmm. and he was a vigilante and this was vigilante justice. Mm-hmm. As if the fact that he took steps to defend his home and his family is evidence of some sort of psychosis.
Yeah,
the media just gets to set the narrative and has been given so much leeway to do so.
Right. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, the guy's name is Byron Smith, 65-year-old homeowner found guilty.
Two consecutive life sentences.
For murder. Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? This is what the United States has come to. Now listen, let me play devil's advocate here for just a moment, and I'll say that the kids were unarmed. The homeowner didn't know that, but the kids were unarmed, and he didn't just shoot them. He shot them, and then he made sure they were dead.
He shot them each multiple times. It sounds like from this recording, both of the kids, he shot them after they were down.
Exactly. And so if we're going to be totally intellectually honest here, you know, wouldn't you try not to murder the kids once you saw that they were down? You know, wouldn't you try not to kill them?
Right. And in fact, he says in his rant that he goes on after the shooting that he specifically wanted them dead because he didn't want them to go to prison and
right.
then later seek revenge on him.
Right.
So obviously there's a legitimate debate to be had about what amount of force is appropriate in response.
Exactly.
Did he commit manslaughter or something
right.
to that effect?
Right.
But to say that this man who shot two people that broke into his home and they'd broken into his home several times.
Right.
After he, you know, invited them in and fed them, no less.
Right.
To say that that is akin to him, if he had just gone out,
right.
it hadn't been in his house at all.
Right.
He had not been burglarized several times. None of those things were true. He went out, stalked two strangers, and shot them. This is the sentence he would
right.
have been given.
Yeah.
Premeditated murder,
right.
two consecutive
like
life
at,
sentences.
At best, it's manslaughter, really.
Right.
Because in the end, he didn't have to. I don't know. I wasn't there. Again, I can't judge because I didn't. You can't see it. But because he chose to end their lives, in saying that he did so because he didn't want them to come back 6 months after prison, that would be wrong, I think so. I think. Because, again, it's not up to you to choose whether, just like the government
right,
should not decide whether
that should
whether
be a factor for the courts to
that
consider.
That should be something for the courts to consider.
But not that they were unarmed in and of itself.
Right, not that they were unarmed because, again, you can't know. I mean,
you know,
who knows? Was
I mean,
dark?
You can think of some extemporaneous, maybe they were lying on the ground and reaching for a weapon, and that would make shooting them while they're on the ground more appropriate,
right.
I guess. But, I mean, yeah, when someone breaks into your home and it's dark
mm-hmm.
and you shoot them and they turn out to be unarmed, I don't
mm-hmm.
think that can be counted against you in
yeah.
and of itself.
And just to speak against the people who broke into the house, Brady and Kiefer, both of these teens were also linked to another burglary the day before they were killed. and they had stolen prescription drugs found in the car they were driving. Apparently, these kids had gotten into drugs and were going downhill, which I think that it probably speaks to their character a little bit and doesn't make me think that they deserve to die. But again, I think that in the end, the responsibility for their own deaths is on their own heads in this situation. You agree?
Well, like I said, I think you could make a reasonable argument as to was this manslaughter, for instance.
Right, probably. That's about as far as this could go.
You could say that some of the responsibility was on him. You could say that he was deranged and so forth.
But not premeditated.
You could make a reasonable argument for all those positions, but you cannot say that this is akin to him going out and killing strangers who in no way brought it upon themselves.
They're saying, because he had himself a little set up an area. He set up a little area so that he could shoot them, like a deer stand. Well, good freaking job. That's how you got to take somebody out if they're coming into your house. You know, don't get mad at him because he understands self-defense. You know, if the case wasn't the fact that he had just executed them once it was over, well, I'd say congratulations, sir. That's how you set up yourself a nice little hole so that you can make sure that you're not going to get shot in case they are armed. So, but the fact the prosecution was trying to paint him out as evil because he set up a little cubby hole, it's like a shooting gallery, they said. They called it a shooting gallery. So that, well, what are you supposed to do? Expose yourself to the people who are going to rob your house so that they might get a shot in too if they've got a weapon? No, that's ridiculous. Obviously, the guy understands self-defense. He retired from the U.S. State Department and worked on technical security issues for the American embassies. He did building layouts and alarms, so the guy did understand how to set it up. And he had alarms. He had security devices in his house.
Some of the articles I've read about this case have said there was widespread sympathy for him in the community until people started to get a sense that he had planned it.
Right.
Well, he didn't plan it, because to plan this event, he would have had to somehow trick them into breaking into his home, and he didn't do that.
Right.
Obviously, it's very...
You can plan to defend yourself.
It's very sad that this went down this way, but not all of the volition was on him.
Exactly. I mean, I have a plan to defend myself in case my house ever gets broken into. Does that mean that I plan to murder someone? No, it just means that if someone breaks into my house, I have a plan to defend myself. And that's what everybody should do. That's a smart thing to do. Now, I guess what I won't be doing is trying to record video or audio of anything that goes on. It appears that his one big mistake in this was recording the audio of what happened, which doesn't make any sense to me at all, but it seems like he's a little off his nut, so you wouldn't be surprised that he would do something like this. But again, that seems to be the only real mistake he made, that and you know, maybe executing the kids when he didn't have to.
Well, we talked about this during our podcast we did on interventionism recently. Mm-hmm. We must draw some distinction between moral circumstance and what should be under the government's purview.
Mm-hmm.
If someone breaks into someone else's home and doesn't intend to hurt anyone, just to steal things, and is shot, obviously that is more unfortunate than if someone breaks into someone's home with the intent to hurt people and is shot. But you, the homeowner, don't know what that person's intentions are, and that's why, even though it's unfortunate when people are killed this way, people in the home have to have the right to defend themselves.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about this case? Do you think that it was justified? Do you think he went too far? Is premeditated murder really the right decision in this case? Do you think he'll get a chance to get off in his appeal? Maybe get the sentence lowered, possibly
manslaughter? Oh, I don't think we mentioned that. Yeah,
he is appealing the decision. So, ladies and gentlemen, write us in. Tell us what you think about this case. We're very interested. It's a really exciting case. Kind of scary, kind of creepy, too. But it does get at the heart of the issues that we like to discuss here at the LibertarianRepublic.com. The issues of personal liberty, defined as the Second Amendment, the right to defend yourself, which this man absolutely did exercise the right to defend himself. But did he go too far? That's what we want to know. Write to us at the LibertarianRepublic.com. Tell us what you think. And if you like the podcast, subscribe to us on iTunes or go to Stitcher. Download us on download the Stitcher app on Android and listen to us. So that way you can get us every single day. Your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at the Libertarian Republic.com.